Global experts in drug policy have gathered today in Dublin to focus on two key issues that will determine the future of Ireland's own drug policy. These are supervised injection facilities and decriminalisation of possession for personal use. The summit is being organised by the Anna Liffey Drug Project. I am joined now by Anna Liffey's director, Tony Duffin. Tony, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for having me on the show.
Just to those two key issues, I want to just start with the first one there and talk about supervised injection centres. There was a commitment on this in the programme for government. Minister Catherine Byrne, who has responsibility for this, was at the summit today. Did she give any indication on how that issue is progressing?
Well, I think what I can say, she was very firm in the fact that she is committed to getting the bill, the legislation, the bill that is needed, published in the coming weeks. And then it's a matter for the door and the shadow, their parliamentary processes to be gone through, and then once that's done and everything is in order, the legislation will be enacted. How long that will take is difficult to say, but I would hope it would be as quickly as possible.
And has there been any indication on where we're going to see the first site?
It is something that people all want to know. Where exactly will the service be? At the moment, nobody knows. I suppose throughout this, I mean, the Anna Liffey began lobbying for the provision of supervised injection facilities exactly 5 years ago today, so the 20th of January 2012. And at each stage, what we've done is we've tried to get over each hurdle as we went along. And I guess at the moment, we're still just about to get over the hurdle, a very major hurdle of having the law changed to allow for them. So nobody is in a situation where they can say, this is where it's going to be. Having said that, the evidence is very clear that you put supervised injection facilities where you have a problem with public injecting. And the problem of public injecting is largest in Dublin city centre. So we would say that it will need to be in Dublin city centre exactly where it's not known yet.
And has there been any consideration as to how this will have to be dealt with the local community? I mean, I know certain people might have some serious objections about having a supervised injection centre in their own area.
Sure. Part of today's discussion is around exactly that, around looking at when the time is right and is upon us. You know, that whoever is the service provider would have the correct level of consultation in place. It's really important to make sure that consultation takes place and that there's as much buy-in as possible. Obviously, we can't always get complete consensus, but obviously it's important to have support and buy-in where the service is placed. So it's important for me to say as well that what we're trying to do is address a problem that a community that the community already have. So it's not about bringing a problem into an area. It's actually about addressing a problem that we already have. So we know and we expect, when I say we know, I mean, the evidence is very clear that where you introduce supervised injection facilities, where there's public injecting, you improve the situation.
And is what exactly will those injection facilities, how exactly will they operate? I mean, is there going to have to be guard presence there? Who is going to staff those facilities? Is it going to be medical professionals from the HSC, or is it?
Yeah, there's a couple of different models around the globe. There's around 90 sites in mainland Europe where these services are delivered, and there's another 10 or so globally. So it's not new. It's not a new service provision. It's just new to Ireland. The type of service provision can be provided by having oversight by a clinician, a doctor, but that doesn't mean that there's always a doctor there. What you have is nursing staff and healthcare staff on site all the time managing a service. And to give you an example, there's a reception area where a brief assessment takes place. People are registered to the service. and it's a confidential service, obviously, but they are registered to the service. And once once the person explains what they've taken recently and what they're about to inject, then when the space is available, they're allowed through to the injecting room, and they would inject themselves with clean equipment, as you would, or as they would in the public domain, as they would have been doing in the public domain. And then once, if everything all being well, they clean up, they move through to the aftercare area, a space where there's other staff there, and they can have a cup of coffee and have a chat and things. And indeed, you know, then they can move on when they're ready back out into the street and such. Going back into the injecting room, if at that stage there is a problem, if somebody overdoses, for example, or believed to be overdosing, there is intervention and people's lives are saved. You know, so. That's really, really important, in terms of getting that across to people, that it's a health intervention. It can reduce HIV and hepatitis C spread. It stops people, you can intervene and save people's lives when they overdose. And you can make referrals onto other services, treatment, rehabilitation, housing, etc. So the evidence is very clear that they do work.
Okay, and I just want to move on to that other issue that has been key to this summit, and that's decriminalisation. And you, along with other people working in this area, have been calling on the government to move away from criminal penalties for possession of small amounts of drugs for personal use. What exactly, was there any ideas at the summit as to what exactly that move would look like?
Well, we're in between sessions at the moment, so the next session is going to start shortly, and that is the one on decriminalisation. But what I will say is that it's important for people to realise that when we talk about decriminalisation, it's not the same thing as legalisation. That's often confused, and we are talking about that there is an intervention or a sanction, if you like, when people are caught with a certain amount of drugs for personal use on them under the decriminalisation policy, but it's not a criminal one. It's an administrative or civil intervention, a health intervention, where people will get either advice or treatment, a referral, and given the chance to, address any drug problems that they may have. But it doesn't address issues of criminality and such in terms of dealing and things like that. That remains illegal, and the guards are in many ways freed up to focus on that side of things.
And would there be any idea about how you talk about things like that, sort of where treatment is to be offered? I mean, I understand one of the models you're looking at would be Portugal, would I be correct to say? And my understanding in Portugal is that, for example, treatment is recommended to a user if they're caught with possession, but it isn't forced upon them in any way.
Yeah. I think treatment it has to be a choice, otherwise it doesn't work. I mean, people's motivation is very important. But having the option of it is also very important, and a relationship with people that they know that they can go to into treatment and rehabilitation. That's very important when someone has an addiction problem. But just to say, the two issues that we are discussing today, one is the supervised injection facilities is government policy. However, the discussion around decriminalisation is exactly that, a discussion. It is, it's important to say it's not government policy at the moment. So this is a journey we're on. This is something that needs to be discussed at length. It certainly needs political leadership if it's going to happen, and it will need some important discussion within society.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was a question I was coming to. Do you see much political will for this among the political parties in Ireland? I mean, I can imagine that some are for it. Others, I'm not so sure they would be.
I think there's scepticism, and I think that there's a wariness around it. But I do think that it's if you look back as to what's happened to date, there was a joint Oireachtas committee in November 2015, which was about a harm-reducing and rehabilitative approach to possession of small amounts of illegal drugs. And it recommended, that was a cross-party committee that recommended that approach, which is decriminalisation by another name. And I think, you know, there is some movement, and a lot of civil society organisations like Analyfi Drug Project and like Citywide, Merchants Key Island, are behind this, you know, this to move toward a situation where decriminalisation is introduced into Ireland.
What about the argument that, you know, to decriminalise drugs, and of course I know you've already stated there's a big difference between decriminalisation and legalisation, mm-hmm. but decriminalisation does infer a sort of a lessening of how serious that is viewed within society. I mean, is there a risk that this could lead to and in some sort of a approval of drug use and a rise in those numbers of using drugs?
I think how we message this is going to be really important. Nobody wants to see any further damage done. Ireland has a very, very serious problem with drugs. Certainly, our current policies aren't really working for us. We have more drugs available, cheaper than ever, right across the country. And that's not, you know, and there's been great efforts to try and control that. But we're really... We really have a very difficult situation. So I would say that we have to, you know, if it's a choice between prohibition and decriminalisation, then we need to be looking at decriminalisation. We don't want to do any further damage than we've already got, but we do need to try something different.
Tony Duffin, Director of the Analyfi Drug Project, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.